Lord, we humbly ask that you would speak to us out of the abundance of your wisdom, and not merely for our knowledge, but for our transformation. We long to continue in this journey to be more and more like you. And so we sit at your feet. Teach us this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Listen to these words this morning on the series that we have been covering for the past few weeks. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, say all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about the things you think about and the things that I think about. Let's think about that for a second. What do we think about most of the time? Oh, interesting, isn't it? Do we think about things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy? Whatever you have learned and received and heard from me or seen in me, put to practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. We thank you, Lord. We have discussed the pressure that relates to past. And last week we looked at the pressures that we face looking into what? The future, right? Did you realize that people, most of us, live either in the past or looking into the future? But what about the everyday pressures that you and I face? You know, those pressures that are not out there somewhere or behind us in things that we have done or committed or not done, but that are present, that are here. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:34 that every day has enough troubles of its own. And all God's people said, amen. Right? Isn't that the truth? Every day we face challenges and difficulties and things that we have to confront head on. And listen, that on a day-to-day basis adds an extremely amount of pressure upon our lives. So think about this. If we are worrying about things in our past and worrying about things that are to come in the future, and we're worrying about the daily challenges of our lives, no wonder we're a mess. It's no wonder. It's no wonder that our society spends more money on antidepressants and drugs that can help, and people drink, you know, excessively and use drugs just to try to cope with the challenges and the difficulties of their day. And that's why we see the messes that we see all around us. It's no wonder. Most stresses are triggered by two different situations. One is when we face threatening situations. Have you ever been threatened? Think about the last time you were threatened, or perhaps you are being threatened right now. If you are on the verge of not knowing whether or not you're going to have your job, you're feeling threatened. If you are asking yourself the question, am I going to be able to pay for my bills, pay my mortgage, or afford health care, or send my kids to college, you are feeling threatened. And whenever we face a situation when we are feeling threatened, we react to that. We're not proactive about it. That's the reality of it, right? Because whenever we are feeling threatened, our number one reaction is to what? To, you know, defend ourselves against that threat, whatever that threat is. And so we're not proactively looking at things. We're reacting to something, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in, you know, whatever the case may be. If we're feeling threatened, we tend to react. The other threatening or the other situation that we face that brings stress to our life is changing situations. Isn't that the truth? The truth of the matter is that we're creatures of habit, aren't we? We like things to be status quo, to be the same all the time, and we don't like change. Right? We just don't like it. It's not part of who we are as human beings. We just don't like change. We like things to be predictable from one another. Now, let me tell you something. That would be like drive me nuts, and it would be so boring for me. But I know for most people, being predictable from day to day is just the way to be, right? That's just the way to go. And whenever you bring a wave of change into a situation or a life or a person, then you have these anxiety levels that shoot up right up the roof. What changes have you gone through or are going through right now? Are you being threatened by something, or is something in your life changing at fast speeds? It wasn't too long ago, you know, probably 2.5-3 years ago, that the country, and especially these parts around here, were thrilled about the prosperity that we were experiencing, weren't we? I mean, people were, at least in their minds, were becoming millionaires and rich people just overnight, right? All you had to do is just buy a couple of houses, maybe 3 or 4, flip them in a couple of, you know, months or so, whatever, right? Or take those houses, and they were increasing in value so much that you can take the equity of that, of those homes, and go buy yourself a Jaguar or a Porsche or something, right? Things were good. Things were good. And then all of a sudden, change came, right? Oh, how things have changed in just a little over 3 years. And now we find people who placed their hope and their entire lives on those things, and now they're threatened, and this change is all around them, and they're saying, I cannot handle this, and they're bailing. People are bailing out because of day-to-day stress. They're bailing out on their hopes. They're bailing out on their future. They're bailing out on their careers. They're bailing out on their spouses. They're bailing out on their bosses. They're bailing out on, I mean, there's just people left and right are bailing out. I was in a class all day yesterday, and one of the people in that class was a higher up in Broward County. And, you know, he was saying how Broward County, I mean, they've lost 40,000 students this past year, just 40,000 students. Because people are just whoosh, bailing out. Things are good, we stay, we stick around, we have fun. When things get rough, whoosh, we take off, right? And Jesus is reminding us in this passage that we read, and Paul is reminding us, listen, if you are placing your trust and your hope and your joy on those things, you're going to fail. That's why we have to take our minds and our spirits higher than that. We cannot stay on the surface. We cannot just go with the flow of everyday life with everybody else, you know, because if we do that, then we're going to experience everything that everybody else is experiencing. Now, the reality is that God is really challenging us to take this life a step higher. All right? I need somebody to help me. Philippians chapter 4. I need this mic. Philippians chapter 4, to read those verses that I read earlier.
Verse 9?
Yes.
Rejoice in the Lord always.
Is that on? Turn on the switch. All right, hold on a second. Because we want you to.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Okay, hold on right there. Did you hear that? When is it that the peace of Christ enters your heart? Read it again, right before it.
Verse 6.
Yeah.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and
supplication.
With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God.
All right. Did you hear that? All right. Keep going.
And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Now, read the next ones.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
There you go. There you go. Thank you very much. Did you hear it? I mean, that is precisely what we need to do. Take it a step higher. Take it a step higher. Now, when we start thinking about those things, okay, not these things down here, all right? These things will always be with us. I mean, it just depends on the time of our lives, right? Sometimes they're higher, right? And it's more intense, correct? Sometimes they're not as intense, but they will always be there. It's like jumping into a river and not expecting to what? To get wet, right? I mean, unless you have like a wetsuit, and technically you don't get wet, but your wetsuit still gets wet and your hair might get wet too. But they're always there, right? They're always there. Now, sometimes, you know, the rapids are a little more intense and sometimes it's more, but it's always there. It's constant. The Lord is teaching us this morning that we need to basically, in many ways, pretend like we are not in the water. And the only way we do that is by focusing on where exactly it is that we're going. That's the only way. That's why Paul keeps going, think about this and think about this and think about this and think about this. Think about what's good and lovely and praiseworthy. Think about the higher things. Elevate your mind and your soul to those things that are higher than you and your situation. And the peace of Christ. Which what? Did you hear that? Which transcends what? All understanding. Right? The understanding that you're going through some tough stuff right now. By thinking on these things, the Lord and Jesus Christ himself will just catch you up, will bring you up, will guard your heart and mind in him. I don't know if you're getting this. Are you getting this morning? Is this making any sense? Do you understand that this is precisely the recipe that we all need as we face everyday lives? This is exactly what we need. We need to elevate our thinking. We need to elevate our spirit. We need to get out from the situation that we're in and begin thinking clearly in Christ. Now, listen, when we're thinking those things, there are a few areas that we then need to manage in our lives. There's five areas. Number one, in the area of my relationships, I need to keep short accounts. keep short accounts. How many of you have like a scorebook in your relationships? You know, either with your spouse or your kids or you know, your boss or your friends. Do you keep record? Okay, this is got you there too. I mean, there's a lot of people that walk around that way. And Paul is telling us this morning, we have to keep a short account. We have to make sure that in our everyday walk, because remember, in this life, I mean, in the United States, we tend to be very individualistic. So in essence, we pretend like we're walking in this journey by ourselves, but that is not the case. You know that, right? How do we walk in this life? With people. We were meant to live lives in community, in fellowship, not by ourselves, but in community. And so if we're walking in this life every day, day after day, right, and you do it and I do it, we get up and we meet our friends and we meet our coworkers. And you know, day after day, we're interacting with the same people. And you know, what happens in lives that come together, sometimes, you know, we're going to clash. And so the reality is that in those clashes, we need to keep those accounts short. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says that if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Live at peace with everybody. Notice that it didn't say there, as long as it depends on them. No, as long as it depends on you. Keep a short account. I know that in personal experience, the times that relationships have fallen apart in my life have been because I have, you know, I've waited for other people to come to me instead of me going to them. In my marriage with Carmen, I mean, those situations that have gotten a little out of hand is because I've expected her to, you know, and I haven't ceded anything. I don't want to, you know, be humble enough to say, okay, you know, fine, I was wrong, as usual, my bad, oops, I did it again, right? Paul is saying, look, if at all possible, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Live at peace with everybody. Now, it doesn't mean that you're a mat and you just, all right, I'll take it and just lay there and be abused or any of that. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying that. But sometimes, you know, when you forgive other people and you decide, okay, you know what, I'm gonna forgive you and I'm gonna not trust you necessarily, but love you, and I'm gonna just forgive you, the Lord just starts operating in your life. It's almost like a weight is taken off your shoulders. When you have bitterness and you know, and hatred on your life, it's like a weight on you. And the Lord is saying, look, just keep short accounts, just move on. Forgive and move on. Secondly, the other area that we need to manage is in my attitudes. How many people, you know, sometimes have a bad attitude about things? We have to preset it to joy. We have to hit the preset button to joy. I don't know about you, but the worst situations in my life when things are just going wrong is 9 times out of 10 is because I have a bad attitude. A bad attitude. You know, my thinking is stinking, right? I'm like all baptized in lemon juice or something. You know, I'm all like all funky and stuff, and not funky in the like funky from the 1970s. That's funky in a good way. I mean, funky in a funky bad way, right? Right? How are you, brother? Oh, I don't know. How are you, honey? I've been there. And, you know, life is rough enough as it is for you to have a bad attitude about it. You know that? Those challenges will be there every step of the way. So change your attitude about it. What are some of those attitudes that we feel? Oh, why me? Right? Why me? Lord, why me? Or how about this one? Not again. We have to go through that again. What are some other attitudes? Not me. It's you. You're the one with the problem, not me. Can you name another attitude? No? I get the feeling that you have some experience on bad attitudes too, not just me. You know, I'm burying my soul up here and just giving you all the ones I have. Wow, there's a lot of holy people here today. Like, I don't have a bad attitude. Right? Not me. Why me? Not now. Not again. Right? Here we go again. Let's listen to this verse. It says, rejoice again. Are you getting this? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, just in case you didn't get it. You know that whenever you read something in Scripture that is repeated, it's like, you know, they didn't have neon lights back then, right? They didn't have like these flashing, you know, lights and sirens back then. They had to repeat it. And Paul here says, rejoice in the Lord sometimes, 50% of the time. When you're in a party, rejoice. When things are going great, rejoice. When the bank account is full, rejoice. When you have job stability, rejoice. When your situations and your relationships are going great, rejoice, right? Always. Oh, by the way, and again I say, rejoice. Now some of you, when you said rejoice, you didn't say it in a very joyous way, rejoice. Rejoice. I'm rejoicing, brother. The joy. I don't want that kind of joy. But it says, look, rejoice. Preset it to joy. Take your attitudes, think about it. And that's the beauty of this. The beauty of it is that we know when we have a bad attitude. Let's be honest, don't we? We know when we're having a bad attitude. And when we have a bad attitude, we can do one of two things. We can just let that bad attitude just take over, or we can put a timeout and reset it and say, now, you know what? You know what? Hakuna Matata. Hakuna Matata. Oh, I can almost sing the song, right? Don't worry. Do 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 do. Be happy. Do 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 do. Don't worry. Be happy. No, that wasn't the song, right? No, the other one was. I can't sing the other one. I'm sorry. Hakuna, right? But you can sing it, right? Hakuna Matata. I mean, that expression should be like a verse or something. I'm serious. I mean, look. There's no worries. There's no worries. There's only worries when we trust ourselves and our circumstance. There's no worries when we trust God. Oh, I got one amen. Thank you, Kevin. I'm going to say it again because people were taking notes or something. There's worries when we trust self. You understand it, right? There's a bad attitude when we're trusting in ourselves and our circumstances all around us and we're placing all of our trust in that. There's worries. There's no worries whatsoever when we trust God. When we trust God. That's attitudes, okay? In my reactions, I'll float on God. I'll float on God. Have you ever felt pressure in you so much so that you just react and explode? Hello, my name is Reggie, and I've exploded from time to time. Right? Come on, let's be honest now. Let's be honest now. That thing just keeps, you know, like one of those the pressure cookers, you know, the pressure pots. You start hearing what? Oh my goodness, I don't know how people go through life without the ability to offload on God. I just don't know how people do it. I'm doing it all the time. You drive in South Florida, don't you? So you know what I'm talking about, right? You work at work with some like crazy, impossible people too, right? Or are they all in my company? Right? You work with some crazy people. I mean, you think to yourself, and they leave your office, and then you're thinking, what in the world was that? Right? And so our duty there is not to blow up, offload. And the beauty of it is all you have to do is just, you know, if you need to close your door. If you need to go for a walk. If you need to, like me, you know, like go to the gym and get on a treadmill, you know, going at 8 miles an hour or something, you know, so I'm hanging on, right? Because the treadmill is just taking me away. And in that treadmill, I'm saying, Lord, just take it all away. Take it all away. Lord, if you don't intervene in my life right now, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose my head. I'm going to lose my health. I'm going to lose my sanity. Lord, just take it over. Listen to this verse. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. If you keep it to yourself and you say, I'm going to persevere on this one until the very end, you're going to blow up. But if you humble yourself before God, he says that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety. I love the language that we are learning this morning. It says, rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And here Peter's saying, cast all your anxiety. Do we do that? No, we don't do that. There are some things that we cast on the Lord and some things that we keep to ourselves because we think we know best. We cast those things on the Lord that we know, well, you know what? But these things, I want to control myself. And so I'm going to live with the anxiety. Instead of casting, no, here Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Anxiety is not good for you. You know that. I know that. When you're anxious, you're not resting well, you're not sleeping well, you don't eat or you eat too much. right? You don't sleep, or you sleep too much. You know, we live in this disjointed, extreme kind of life that is not good for us. And so it is our, you know, our call this morning to just offload on God and cast all of our cares, because God cares for us. Fourthly, in my circumstances, look for the good. How many of us do that? I've learned to do that. I've learned to look at the situation as is and say, okay, what's good in it? Lord, show me what's good. There has to be something good here. And it's all an attitude. It's all a mental picture. Is that we look at the situation and say, okay, wait a minute, hold on a second. I'm a child of the Almighty. I'm a child of the Almighty. I'm a child of God. If God is a king, I'm a prince and a priest before God. All right, so number one, you got to know you got to know who God is. You got to know who you are, how you fit in that equation, right? Once you do that, then you say, okay, if I'm a child of God, and God is a king, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-majestic, all-worthy to be praised. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Before him, there's nothing. After him, there's nothing. He has a plan for my life. All things must work together for good for me. Okay, Lord, show me. This situation right now is not catching you off by surprise. I know that, God. So there has to be a lesson. There has to be something good in this whole situation, in this whole deal that you want me to learn. What is it? Is it to be more patient, to know more, to be happier, to go through the experience in order to help other people? What is it that I have to learn in this circumstance? What is it? Got to look for the good. You got to look for the good. Let's go to this next verse. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. And some of you are saying, no, come on now, impossible. Your thoughts run your life. My thoughts run my life. If I don't see God in the situation, those thoughts will guide my life. If all I see is evil and those things that are wrong, those thoughts will run my life. If I see good in it, those thoughts will also run my life. You got to look for the good. You got to look for those things that are good. You got to know who God is, and you got to know who you are in God's plan. And fifthly and finally, look, we have to manage our lifestyle, and that is through following Christ. Following Christ. In that verse that we read earlier, it says, keep putting into practice all that you have learned from me. Keep putting into practice. You learned it, put it to practice. Practice makes what? Practice makes what? Right? You've learned it, now put it to practice. If you learn it and you don't put it to practice, it's not going to be effective in your life. So you learn from God, you learn to follow his ways, and then you just put it to practice. Look, God doesn't want people who know a lot about the Bible. Do you know that? God doesn't want people who know a lot about the Bible. You know what God wants? People who live out. He doesn't want hearers. He wants what? Faith without works is dead. These lessons, without putting it to practice, are dead. You can listen. You can sit here and listen to these principles and go out the door and not do anything with them in your life. And it's going to be dead for you, completely dead for you. But I guarantee you, you take these principles, and when you walk out that door, you start applying it. And it's not that you're going to be perfect the first time around, but you know, you get up and you try again and you try again. And all of a sudden, you start feeling stronger and more agile, and you can look at things differently, and your attitude changes, and your joy grows, and you start relying more on God, and you start looking for the good in everything, and you say, you know what, this lifestyle, this walking behind Christ in what he does and what he says and what he tells me to do, and those lessons that he's placed in my life is making all the difference. And you know what happens when you do that? Not only does your life change, not only does your mentality change, not only are you more joyous and more peaceful and more, you know, just looking at things in a different way, but the neighbor next to you starts saying, wait a minute, I want some of that too, because this guy, nothing faces this guy. There's nothing that can come against this guy that baffles him. I want some of that. What is the secret? But if you're walking around letting the waves carry you. Oh, how are you, sister and brother? Oh, you know, pastor. Just hanging in there. What happens when you bite your nails like I do, right? And you can't hang by your nails anymore, right? All right? When life has given you a rope and you're at the end of the rope, there's a lot of people that make a noose on that and hang themselves, right? You know what you have to do? When life sends you a rope and you're at the end of your rope, sometimes you can't do that, Marlon. So what? You know what I tell you to do? Make a knot on that knot on that rope and just hang in there and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, walk with me. Lord, guide me. Lord, teach me. Lord, I want to be like you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your word tells us that if we follow these things, the God of peace will be with us. And so, Lord, we pray this day that in these threatening and changing situations that we face in life, that we would choose to trust in you, to think about these things that are good and lovely and praiseworthy and honorable, that we would choose to cast all of our cares, and that we would follow you every step of the way. And all God's children said, amen.